Put me on. All right. I have the new handout, chapter 4. I was intending to hand it out on Wednesday. However, that didn't work out. I was elsewhere. So I have a few more left. Yes.
Well, we can show one if you need more.
Okay. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Yes. I have one left. You may have to share.
Thank you.
All right. Good to see everybody. I'm sure everybody's well aware. We'll talk about an announcement, but you know, this is hurricane season. Apparently, we have another one coming down on our side, coming to us. So we need to be wary and watchful of everybody else and see what we can do to help each other get ready for this storm. I know my son Kirk, he's going down to Manasota Key area, Englewood, to help one of our friends get prepared and get ready since they had already fought Helena. So let us go to God in prayer. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the many blessings of this day. We ask, Lord, that you be with us as we study your word. Be with those that also are in the path of the hurricane, Lord, and help us brace and prepare so we can have no loss of life like we did this last hurricane. Lord, be with each one of us each and every day. Strengthen us, guide us, keep us always in your faith. Continue to be with us. Open our hearts and minds as we open your word and study. In Jesus' precious name we believe and pray. Amen. All right, I just want to read two passages before we start, and then we're just going to kind of briefly go over the assignment that we had for chapter 3, kind of like outline it and review it. But Psalm 143, verse 10. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. And then turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Philippians chapter 1, 9 and 10. Of course, keep your finger on 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 4. And in Philippians chapter 1, it says, "And I pray this, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." So we finish chapter 3. But we want to remember, what did we remember? What do things stand out with us in chapter 3? In chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, what did Paul address them saying? They needed to do what? Be more spiritual. They needed to grow, right? You're still immature. You still have things that are causing this immaturity, this division and things. So we need to make sure you're focused on that. And in verses 5 through 8... what did it say? What did Paul try and address them, right? He's talking about the divisions. He's talking about Apollos. He's talking about himself. He's talking about, what are they? Right, they're interns. They're servants, right? And what were they, what message were they delivering? Right, God's word, right? A treasure, something to be prized. Something to be prized. And Paul gave them that we had the purpose of preaching and teaching, and we were to serve. And he said, Paul and Apollos, we are not divided. We are unity, and we are laborers uniting one another. And who gives? There's one that waters, there's one that plants, but who gives the increase? God, right. And in verses 9 through 15, right, what are we? We are, and that's a collective, right? What are we? Laborers, right? Workers, fellow workers, right? He talked about builders. He talked about farmers. He talked about laying a foundation. He talked about, what is our foundation, our spiritual foundation? Christ, right? And we need to make sure that when we're building on that foundation, what kind of things do we put on it? Things that are going to be what? Tested, right? Things that are going to be tested. Things that should survive. And what did he call the testing? What was that? Fire, right? It'd be refined, right? Things, precious stones, precious metals, but things that aren't carefully placed on it will be consumed. And in the last few verses of chapter 3, it says 16 through 23, what does it say about worldly wisdom? That's something to be prized, right? Worldly wisdom? No. What did it say? It's foolishness, right? It's foolishness, right? And to those that think they're wise, what is God's spiritual wisdom? Foolishness to them, right? So mere foolishness is found in the knowledge of men. If you belong to God, you should act like that. So those are the verses of chapter 3, kind of getting an overview again where we've been. And we're continuing the same thought through chapter 4. So chapter 4, 1 through 5. Paul writes to them, continuing his thoughts, remembering on what he had talked to them about being spiritually mature, now making sure there's no divisions, making sure that we're farmers and builders that cultivate God's word, making sure we understand the difference between worldly wisdom and spiritual wisdom of God. Why would he stress that point of worldly wisdom? Where are they? Corinth. What country are they? Greece, right? The philosophers, they prized themselves on filling their mind with things that they considered were important, knowledge. So Paul writes in verse 1, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." All right, well, what's a servant? One who serves, right? One who serves. Oh, okay. So you put your needs what? First? Last. Paul's saying, I'm putting your needs first. I'm making sure that you are well taken care of. Because I'm going to give you this important message. And what does he call that important message? Why would he call that the mysteries of God? Because people who have knowledge think this is weird. Right? This is strange. This is unusual. Right? Matthew 24, verse 25, and we couple that with Luke 12, 42 through 46, it talks about the wise and faithful servant. So Matthew 24, verse 45. Matthew 24, verse 25. You got that, Steph?
Yes.
Okay. Chuck. Chuck, that's fine. I did say Steph, but Chuck, she's still looking. Go ahead.
Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season?
Okay, and then let's turn to Luke chapter 12, and I'm going to read 42 through 46. Luke chapter 12, 42 through 46. "And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise servant whom his master will make ruler over his household? To give them their portion of food in due season." Again, a question. "Blessed is that servant whom his master will find doing so when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has." Now here's that but, right? That contrast. "But if that servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers." So Paul says, I'm a servant. I'm making sure that I'm a steward of the mysteries of God, and I'm making sure I'm feeding those that are hungry and thirsty. What are we hungry and thirsty for again? God's word, right? To study his word, to be hungry and thirsty for the word that's going to be given to us in due season. And in verse 2 of chapter 4, so let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. "Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." So if I'm Paul, why does he need to be found faithful? Why does anybody who teaches in front of you need to be found faithful? So they can't discredit you, right? So you have what? And you have influence, Right? Influence, right? You have influence. Oh, well, he's found faithful. He's walking the walk and talking the talk. Then he must be doing what he needs to be doing. He needs to be found faithful. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Who's got that for me?
I got it.
You got it? And then Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Colossians 1, 25. Clay, you got that one?
Yes.
Okay.
Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God.
So Paul says, I'm a steward, right? He's got to be faithful. But it says here that he was given this stewardship to you to do what? What was the goal? And as a goal here in Corinthians too, right? Fulfill the word of God. Make sure that you're being built up, right? Because again, in chapter 3, he was talking about you're immature. I need to make sure that you know the difference between mature and immature. I need to make sure that you know this. And then let's turn to 1 Corinthians, but let's go to chapter 9, verses 16 and 18. 1 Corinthians 9, 16 through 18. Jake, do you got that for me?
I do. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with the stewardship. What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel.
So this is further in the letter, but it's still the same point that he's making. Paul's making that I've been entrusted with this. I'm not going to boast because I'm doing this. I'm not looking for a financial reward for doing this. I'm making sure that I've been entrusted and make sure that I'm following all authority. Let's also turn to 1 Peter 4:10. 1 Peter 4:10. Larry, you got that for me?
Yeah. As every man hath received the gifts, so even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
Okay. And Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. Larry, you got that one? Ephesians 3, 3 through 7. So this also helps us define when he's talking about the mysteries of God. Let's also turn to Colossians chapter 1, verses 26 through 29. Colossians chapter 1, 26 through 29. Antoinette? And so Paul's also saying, to this end, I labor, to teach you the mysteries of God. Let's also turn back to 1 Corinthians 4, look at verse 3. Paul writes, but, here's that contrast again, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human day court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to the light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels and motives of their hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. Remember, what were they challenging in the first part of his letter that he had to address? His apostleship, right? They were trying to discredit Paul. And he says, well, you're judging me. That's a little thing. That really doesn't show the mark. He said, and remember in Acts, he'd even talked about before, hey, before I was converted, I was doing this in good conscience, even though I was persecuting the Christians. But once on that road to Damascus, he was shown the light and was blind for 3 days. Oh, and then since that point, again, he has been doing what God had wanted him to do in all good conscience. So there's nothing to judge against him. I've been doing this in good conscience. And as he wrote to Timothy in chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, he was given the pattern, because that's a verse we read all the time, right? Hold fast the pattern of sound words, which you have heard from me. Who? Paul. In faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us all. And then in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, and the things that you heard from among me, among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So he's talking about making sure he's seating everyone. But he's also saying, well, you know, you're judging me, but the standard of judgment comes by God. God is the one who judges. God is the one who condemns, right? In Matthew 7, it says, judge not, lest you be judged. And then in Romans 12, 2, that therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge one another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things, but we know that the judgment of God is according to the truth against those who practice such things. And he was trying to also tell them, you know, the day is coming when we will all be judged, right? We will all be judged for our deeds. We will all be judged by the things we do, but you're judging not according to God's standards. So in verses 1 through 5, we are stewards of God's message. Are we all stewards of God's message? Yes. How do we do that? How do we practically do that? Well, you can teach in a class, but that's not the only way that you're teaching God's word, right? How else are we teaching God's word? By our lives, our walk, our practice, our interactions with people. How are we interacting with people? How are we going to interact with people outside the world? Well, they should see it, right? How we speak. Do we have a different language? Do we have a different language than people in the world? Kinda, right? There's some words we don't use, right? And there's it should be that we don't use profanity. We shouldn't do other things, you know? We don't do other things that the world seems to take into account. And so we're different. But God's message is given to who? All of us, and it should be handled and as it was intended, right? Freely. When we deliver the message, we suppose that we are found faithful to the word, and a true test for a preacher, a messenger, a servant, is, what did Paul say? Is his, in verse 2? Faithfulness, yes. And I talked about how Paul had spoke about having a clear conscience, that even when he was persecuting the Jews, he was doing it what he believed was right until he was shown more correctly the truth. And so he was shown more correctly the truth, and he's showing everyone else more correctly the truth. So you see some of these questions. We talked about what is a steward, and what have stewards been entrusted with? So what have we been trusted with? What do we do each and every day? What is it? God's word, okay, that's right. So it's in my heart. Nobody can see it. How else? How do I show it? Actions, examples. our manner of walk, talk? Do we dress different than the world? We should, right? We should. Do we drive different than the world? We should. Right? Sometimes it's hard if you've been on I-4. Sometimes it's hard. You know, so there are certain things, interactions with people, you know, we shouldn't be more impatient than others. We should have that patience, right? Should we be happy all the time? All the time, we're always happy. We never get angry, ever, or lose our patience, never. So that's one of the things we have to work on, right? But it says, why is faithfulness the most important test for a steward? Because if I'm going to walk the walk, I've got to talk the talk. Daryl.
Yeah, well, remember, he's going off with the problem he's dealing with right here is their division. And if I follow this person, I follow that person. And Paul here, just by saying, all we are, and look at that, in the beginning, he says, consider us, not me, consider us as just stewards. And when he says a steward must be found faithful, I mean, Jesus taught parables on this and everything, but if the talents God has given us to use, he expects us to use them. If whether it's teaching, if you may be because of physical problems, whatever, you're beyond the point of where you can stand in front of a class and teach or anything else, but you might be really good at encouraging people. You might be really good at being able to lift people up. And if you are, and you're not using that ability, as God has given you the ability to do that, then God's going to hold you responsible for that. If you really don't have the physical abilities, for whatever reason, to stand up and teach your class, God doesn't necessarily expect you to teach the class. But we all have stuff we can do. And if we're not doing the things that we identify that we're good at, we should be doing those all the time. We should always be working to improve in other areas. But if your strong suit is just being able to visit people and make them feel better, you should be taking every opportunity you can to be going and visiting. That's what God expects us to do. That's living the Christian life. And that's what Paul here is talking about, is dealing with the division they have, and he's trying to get them to realize, don't look at what Paul Apollos is doing, don't look at what we're just doing, what God has given us to do. We're not promoting ourselves, we're not doing any of that. We're all just doing what God has given us to do, and that's what God expects of all of us, is what we can do, we should be doing.
Right, and Paul keeps addressing that same point. He said, hey, you have divisions, you're not growing, and that was the problem. You're not growing because of these divisions, and we're here trying to give you, lay that foundation on, and you should be growing, and you should be also doing the things that you have talents for. And we'll talk about his gifts toward the end of this chapter as well. Where in Scripture does it say that we must judge false teachers? And I have three passages that I have written down. Where does it say we should judge those who are teaching wrong or falsely? I know I just gave you that. So some of those are Acts chapter 20, 28 through 32, Romans 16, 17 through 18, and Matthew 7, 15 through 23. And I know I just gave you those, so I didn't get you time to prep those. But those are some of the scriptures. It talks about judging, right? But there's also, if you're teaching wrong, someone's got to correct that. If you're getting and if you're giving the wrong message, Paul wants to make sure that you are focused on that. Because in these next two verses in Corinthians, it talks a little bit about that. So let's go to Corinthians 4, verses 6 and 7. And I'm going to read first from the New King James Version, and then I'm going to read the International Bible Version. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us. So he's talking about Paul and Apollos, who has been teaching them and ministering to them, not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up, arrogant, on behalf of one against the other. For who makes you differ, distinguishes you from another? Who makes you different from another? Again, a question. And what do you have that you did not receive? Again, a question. And now if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Again, another question. Now, same verses, International English Bible. Brothers, I have applied these things to Apollos and myself for your sake, so that you may learn from our example. And I like that. You must not go beyond what the scriptures say. Don't be more proud of one person than another. How are you better than anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive from God? Since you received it from God, then why do you brag as though you did not receive it? So Paul asks three questions. He shows that contrast, but he puts one important point, right? Do not go beyond what is written. Do not add, right? In Revelation 22, it says we shouldn't add or take away from the book, right? Because it's going to be a problem. Revelation 22, verses 18 through 19. Who's that? Who's got that for me? Revelation 22, 18 and 19. Angela. So God has an important point. He wants to make sure we're not adding or taking away. Let's turn to 2 John, and I'll say chapter 1, but there's only one chapter, verses 9 through 11. 2 John 9 through 11. Clay?
Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine,
and then let's turn to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. 1 John 4. Antoinette, you got that again? All right.
Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world.
Okay, again, making sure that we're not learning something that's not part of God's word. He made sure that it was very important. So we also have these other verses and passages that tell us not to take beyond God's word. And then there was, again, some divisions that they had different gifts, right? Paul was teaching. Apollos was also teaching. And they were having divisions among them. But there's also others that felt, I think Paul's better than Apollos, or I think Apollos is better than Paul. So it talked about, again, trying to make sure that division doesn't separate them. And it says, you know, all of our talents, all of the things we have, our mind, our body, our physical attributes, also the physical blessings of this life, we should equate it to God. God has given us those. And it tells them, hey, if you receive these from God, then why do you brag and boast, right? Did you receive them? God gave you these gifts, right? Some people are very good at writing. That's not necessarily my forte. I can do outlines, but I'm not a good writer. So I'm glad that everybody has their talents. You know, some people say, you know, others speak well. I like the way they teach. I like the way that Chuck preaches. I should put him on a pedestal, right? No, he's just a man just like everybody else, but he's using his talents. And we're happy that he is and sharing God's words, that we may also guide by that. Let's turn to John 3:27. A chapter that we seem to recite a lot, but they usually do 3:16. But there's a lot in that chapter. John 3:27. You got it, Tabitha? And then Romans chapter 12, 3 through 5. Romans chapter 12, 3 through 5. Ken, do you got that?
Almost.
Almost, good. Romans 12, 3 through 5. Verses 3 through 5, Romans 12.
Through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another.
Chet, can you read 1 Peter 4:10 and 11? Ten and 11, yes, sir.
As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the abilities which God supplies, that in all things God be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Yes. So each one of us has gifts, but we are working what? Together as a collective, right? All of us have different gifts. All of us have different abilities. Not one is more important than the other. And there was a section that talked about if you have an eye, where's the hearing? If you have the hearing, where's the smell? Where's the feet? Where's every part of the body is supposed to be unified. And that's what Paul's trying to get at, right? He's trying to show them that him and Paul and Apollos, they themselves are unified. They have come together, and the only reason they're doing this is to build them up. They're using the gospel and the scriptures, and they're trying to mature and build up the saints and Christians at Corinth. But not just Corinth, right? Even his letters today are looking to strengthen and edify us. Because the divisions that were causing this split or this immaturity or lack of growth was because they were being puffed up. They were arrogant. They were showing blessings. And we'll talk about that later in the chapter too. You know, Corinth was a very prosperous city. So they felt, hey, look at all the things we have. So look at all the stuff we have. We attained that. We did this. We did that. I did this, right? No, God gave us all different talents. None of you have worked on an ambulance, and a lot of you probably never want to. Well, that's okay. That's what I did. We all had different walks of life. You know, Stefan was a nurse. She, you know, the things she did, I didn't want to do those things. All of us have different abilities and things that God has given us. So we want to make sure this same division that caused immaturity and spiritual growth, they want to stop that and keep that growth happening. The grace of God gives us all many blessings, and we need to be what? Humble and also satisfied with the things we have. So in the questions, it said, why did Paul say he gave these things to him and Apollos and added them for them? What did it say? That you may learn from our example. We put these things on ourselves that we are going to focus and make sure that you understand what is going on. And then he strengthened and says, okay, was all the Gospels written at that time? No, not yet. How were they getting the Gospel?
Through the inspiration,
right. So Paul was giving them. And you know, we don't have all of his sermons. We don't know how many of the parables he was able to preach to them. That would be great if we had his sermon outlines, right? This is Paul's sermon outlines. But they were given by the inspiration of God, and they wanted to make sure people weren't taking things beyond that step. Do not go beyond what is written. Why? Well, what are the things we said? What happens if we go beyond that? Are we on a good, solid foundation? No. What's going to happen to my house if I put it on sand? What happens when the winds come and the storms come and you build your house on sand? Well, we've seen what's happened, right? We've seen what's happened. You don't have a firm foundation. You don't have bedrock. These things can disappear. And he told them this is a warning, right? Why is this phrase also a warning? Why is this do not go beyond what is written also a warning? There's some consequences, right? And we prove that it separates us from God. If we go beyond what is written, we are not in God. We don't have the doctrine of Christ. And so we'll be separated. Does this have application even in 2024? He wrote this letter less than 2,000 years ago. but it still has application to us today. Do we see that today, that God's word is being changed, altered,
ignored?
Blatantly, well, that's not really what that says. Or as Chuck likes to say, you've been helped to misinterpret the scripture of God. And then I put this rhetorical question. How are we better than someone else? How are we better than someone else?
We're not.
We think highly of ourselves most of the time, because we have to live with ourselves 24/7. We think ourselves highly, right? I can do this, I can do that. I can do all things. Christ who strengthens me, yes. And if we have that mindset, right, I can keep what kind of attitude? Humble, right. Humble and lowly attitude, yes. What do you have that you have not received from God? What have you received from God? Everything. Did you receive your blonde hair and blue eyes? Well, kind of, right? Because where did I receive them from? My parents, right? And then their parents, and then their parents, and we trace it back to where did we all start? Adam and Eve, genetic makeups, right? Genetic makeup. Did he give me my clothing? In a matter of sense, did he give me the ability to work my hands or mine and I could buy clothing? Did he tell me, you had to put on black pants and this colored shirt? No, that was my wife, right? And this tie goes with this shirt, so I know how to match, right? So he gave me the ability to have a wife who helps keep me humble, right? Because wives will help me do that, right? If you're a husband, wives will help you do that. That's a good thing, right? That's a good thing. And so all things, and we're about to ring the bell, all things we can equate that God has supplied to us and we need to be appreciative. Yes. If you didn't get one of my handouts, I'll make more copies. I'll give them to you. We'll hopefully finish up chapter 4 next Sunday. Thank you for your kind attention and patience.